Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Naked Money: A Revealing Look at What It Is and Why It Matters by Charles Whelan is a popular economics book that explains money, banking, and monetary policy for general readers. As part of Whelan's Naked series, it follows the same approach used in Naked Economics and Naked Statistics. It strips away jargon and presents a complex subject in clear, humorous, and accessible language. The book asks a deceptively simple question: what makes money valuable at all? From that starting point, it explores fiat currency, inflation, deflation, exchange rates, central banks, banking crises, and the role of trust in modern financial systems. Rather than treating money as a technical abstraction, Whelan presents it as a social institution that shapes everyday life and national stability. The purpose of the book is both explanatory and corrective. It helps readers understand how money works in practice and why monetary systems can fail in ways that affect entire economies. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, money as a social agreement rather than a physical object. One of the book's core ideas is that money has value because people collectively believe it does, not because paper or digital entries are valuable on their own. Whelan uses this premise to reframe how readers think about cash, bank balances, and modern payment systems. In this view, money functions as a memory system for production and consumption. It records who has given value to whom and allows exchange to continue without barter. That makes money less like a thing and more like a shared accounting convention. This explanation is important because it clarifies why fiat currency can work without gold or other backing. Its strength comes from trust, institutional stability, and public acceptance. Once that trust weakens, even perfectly printed notes or electronically recorded balances can lose credibility. Whelan uses this insight to show that monetary systems are only as stable as the social and political structures supporting them. Secondly, why moderate inflation is tolerable while deflation is dangerous. Whelan gives special attention to inflation and deflation because both are often misunderstood in public debate. His argument is not that inflation is harmless in all forms, but that low and steady inflation is generally manageable and can even support economic activity. Prices that rise gradually can keep commerce moving, reduce the risk of stagnation, and make nominal wages easier to adjust over time. Deflation, by contrast, can be far more destructive because falling prices encourage delay, raise the burden of debt, and can trap economies in a cycle of weak demand. The book also treats hyperinflation as the extreme case in which money rapidly collapses as a store of value. This section matters because it teaches readers to distinguish between a controlled loss of purchasing power and a systemic monetary breakdown. Whelan's framing challenges the common assumption that all price increases are equally bad and shows why policymakers often fear deflation more than modest inflation. Thirdly, exchange rates and the politics of currency valuation. Another major topic is how one currency is priced against another and why different countries use different exchange rate regimes. Whelan explains that exchange rates are not fixed by nature. They are shaped by policy choices, market forces, and political manipulation. Some countries allow the market to determine value, while others intervene aggressively to influence competitiveness or stabilize domestic conditions. This makes currency valuation a practical expression of national economic strategy. The book uses this topic to show how exchange rates affect trade, imports, exports, and the apparent strength of a country's economy. A weaker currency can make domestic goods cheaper for foreign buyers, but it can also raise the cost of imported goods and fuel inflation. By walking through these trade-offs, Whelan shows that exchange rate policy is never just technical. It reflects competing goals such as growth, price stability, and political control. The result is a clearer understanding of why currency disputes can become international economic conflicts. Fourthly, central banking, financial crises, and the management of liquidity. Whelan also examines the role of central banks and the broader banking system, especially when markets panic or credit freezes up. He presents banking as a mechanism that depends heavily on confidence banks borrow short and lend long, so they can become vulnerable when too many depositors or lenders lose faith at once. Central banks exist partly to stabilize that system by supplying liquidity, acting as lenders of last resort, and helping prevent temporary shocks from becoming full-scale collapses. The book uses historical crises to illustrate how illiquidity, not just insolvency, can cause severe economic damage. This is one reason Whelan's discussion is useful for general readers. It separates the hidden plumbing of finance from the visible surface of spending and prices. Readers learn that modern monetary systems are not self-correcting in any simple sense. They require institutional backstops, policy judgment, and public trust. That makes central banking central to the book's broader argument about how money works and why it sometimes fails. Lastly, historical case studies and the defense of fiat money. In its second half, the book moves from theory to history by using countries such as Argentina, Zimbabwe, North Korea, China, the United States, and the Eurozone to show how monetary systems behave under stress. These examples let Whelan compare stable systems with badly broken ones and show what happens when governments print too much money, constrain currency too rigidly, or create institutions that cannot respond to crises. The historical material also supports the book's defense of fiat money against the idea that a gold-backed system would automatically be safer. Whelan argues that modern economies need flexible money supplies and that the real issue is not whether money is backed by metal, but whether it is governed by credible institutions. He also points readers toward emerging payment technologies like Bitcoin, while keeping the emphasis on money as a system of trust and coordination. This blend of history and policy makes the book broader than a simple primer. It shows how monetary theory becomes visible in real national outcomes, from inflation to recession to currency collapse. In conclusion, Naked Money is best suited for readers who want a serious but readable introduction to how money, banking, and monetary policy actually work. It is especially useful for non-specialists, students, and general readers who know the vocabulary of economics but want a clearer explanation of the underlying mechanisms. The practical benefit of the book is that it improves economic literacy without requiring technical training. Readers come away with a better grasp of why inflation is not always the main threat, why deflation can be worse, how exchange rates reflect policy choices, and why central banks matter during crises. Its intellectual value lies in its ability to connect abstract monetary ideas to real institutions and historical episodes. What makes it stand out from many books in the same category is Whelan's combination of clarity, humor, and institutional realism. He does not merely define terms. He shows how money functions as a social system built on trust, rules, and credibility. That makes the book a strong entry point for anyone seeking a grounded understanding of modern finance without the heaviness of a textbook. If you would like to support Charles Whelan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.